This is a bonus episode with serial entrepreneur and co-host of The Breakfast Club, Angela Yee. In this episode, we talk about wealth building, her specific journey starting her career making $23,000 a year to now making millions of dollars, some of the belief that she had to overcome, the strategies that she used to 10x her income, and the responsibilities of building wealth as a woman, especially as a Black woman, and so much more. I initially didn't do the interview with Angela Yee for the podcast, but she dropped so many gems that were relevant to, I think, the dreamers that I decided to turn it into an episode. So I hope you enjoy it. I also used some of the gems from this episode to write an article for Fortune about, is there such a thing as an ideal salary? So I will link it in the show notes. Make sure to check it out as well. All right, here's Angela Yee.
My first job, I was making $23,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And that was after negotiating. They actually offered me $16,000.
Oh, wow. What were you doing?
I was an assistant to the CEO of Wu-Tang Corporation. And so... when I initially was offered the job, they offered me $16,000. I told them that I had another job offer that was for more than that. And so that's how we settled on the $23,000.
Wow. And so at that point, like when you were earning 23, did you have a number in mind of, okay, once I hit that number, then it's going to be enough?
Man, in my head back then, I was like, if I could just make $100,000.
That's the number.
I wanted to get into I wanted to get to 100,000, and then I felt like that would be so much money. Mm.
And then, so then you got to it, right? Can you talk to me maybe about kind of like the shift that happened when you went from making 23, which I guess that would be five figures to six figures, and then six figures, seven. And I'm just very curious to hear about that.
So I feel like I never thought about investing. I never thought about being an entrepreneur. I never thought about owning a home. Those were not even thoughts in my head back then. As a matter of fact, I used to think that I would never be able to own a home, especially because living in the New York City area is so expensive. And every day I was really just trying to, I didn't even have money saved in my bank account. Mm-hmm. And so even just being able to go on a vacation, that was like the ultimate treat for myself. My parents, my mom gave me her car. So I didn't have a car. I didn't have good credit. I didn't have, you know, any of those things. And then one day I told myself, Angela, you just have to make more money. I know that people would tell you, just don't buy that cup of coffee and, mm-hmm. you know, just cut back on some of those daily expenses. But when you really want to make big moves, that's just not enough. And so I definitely had a lot of side hustles. I was doing some writing and it wasn't big money. And I also wasn't great at knowing what to ask for. And so I think that confidence comes in when you have more experience, because I was young. I was fresh out of college. None of my friends were really making a ton of money. So we were all kind of struggling together. And that's why part of it is who's around you. Mm-hmm. Because we did like support each other and celebrate our wins, but I don't think any of us were seeing the bigger picture of what was possible. And so what really helped me learn that was being around people who were doing way better than I was. And so one of those people that I really learned a lot from early on was Nile Rodgers. And at the time he owned a distribution label. And so even now, just seeing the moves that he makes as far as investing and as far as his own catalog and publishing and even things outside of music, that's fascinating to me. But I remember having a meeting with him and him explaining to me how he was making money, you know, owning this distribution label. That's when ownership really started to feel important to me. When I was listening to him talk about the things that he was doing, when he was telling me stories about the publishing that he was getting and the checks that he was getting from songs that he had done decades ago, that was what really hit home to me. And so one of the first things that I did do was, you know, get a job making more money. And in that job, by the way, I was making, before I got that job, I was making about, I was freelancing. So I was making about like $80,000, $90,000 a year from freelancing. And then I ended up taking some steps back when I decided I wanted to work in radio. And so I went from making that back down to making $50,000 a year because this was a job that was in a field I had never done before. It was to be the host on a morning show. They felt like they were taking a chance on me in a field I had never been in. And so I had to understand that, okay, in order for me to later on excel, I've got to take some steps backward financially. And so I did that. I gave up all my freelancing and I gave up that extra money I was making to go back to making $50,000. And after the first year of making 50,000, I went in and renegotiated because I was doing well enough that I felt like, you know, sometimes it's hard because you start so low, it's hard to go up when you start low. And I didn't know how to negotiate. So when they offered me that, I didn't even negotiate. I just took it. And so what I did do was, though, the next year was go in and ask for a raise, and they did give me a bonus and a raise. For me, it was setting a goal and being able to achieve that goal and knowing that I had the ability to make money outside of just my salary. I had the ability to host events. I had the ability to do freelance writing, and I had the ability to do event planning. All of those things brought in extra income.
So once you started, you reached that 6 figures and you decided that you wanted to earn more, did you have a number in mind? Did you have
You
like
know,
a
at that
specific
point,
goal?
every I think every time, and this is what's funny too, is that even my price for things went up. Like I used to be excited to get paid $250 to host something. Then it was like, okay, now I'm upping my price to $500. Then it was like, okay, now it's $1,000. Then it was, I'm not leaving my house if it's less than $2,000. You know, till you get to the point where you're charging $20,000, you know, for a little bit of time or $40,000 to do a post. And so those were numbers that I never even would have thought I would be able to get. There's things that, you know, I remember I brokered a deal. I didn't have to do much at all. I brokered a deal for somebody and got $150,000 just to introduce one person to another person. And then once the deal worked out, I was able to get a nice fee just for that and with minimal effort. And so I think that the more money you make, because after that, I was like, I want to make $1 million. The more money you make, the more you realize that you need to work smarter and not harder. I need my money to make money. And so I feel like if I have a whole lot of money just saved in the bank, that doesn't feel good to me because it's not doing anything. And so whether I'm investing in real estate, investing in businesses, investing in people, investing in myself, you know, investing in the stock market, I do feel like there's no reason to have a whole bunch of money just in the bank.
It's funny because one of the women I interviewed, she said that, women need to be more comfortable about sharing even like their financial goals and their ambitions because there's like a penalty when you're a woman, you're ambitious and you have all these big goals, but men talk all the time about I want to buy this, basketball team and I want to do this and I want to do that, and there's no judgment towards that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's true. And I think we downplay what we have done a lot because people feel like, oh, she thinks she's all this and that. That's why you ain't got no man. And people will find a way to find something negative about your accomplishments. And so at a certain point, you're like, I don't even want to say it. You know, I work with guys and they definitely talk a lot about the things that they have going on. And I feel like I downplay what I have and I don't discuss it as much because it's still something that doesn't make me as comfortable as they are, you know? And so I think there's a lot of truth to that. Like people will look at Oprah, who's like the epitome of what it is to be successful as a woman. They'll be like, well, she has no kids and she's not married.
That's so
That
true.
goalpost moves every year with inflation. And so for myself, I think the goalpost is always changing and that's okay. And that's why we always have to sit down and figure out what's important to us at this point in time in our lives, because that is going to change depending on who's coming, you know, in and out of our lives, depending on our circumstances. And that's fine because they will tell us as women that we are known for changing our minds. And there is nothing wrong with that. We call that evolving. And so it's okay for your money and for your finances and for your goals to evolve, just like we evolve all the time. You know, I think as a Black woman, you have so much responsibility. It's never just about you. And I feel like whether our families put that on us or we put that on ourselves, we have this obligation. Mm-hmm. And I know I do. Like, anytime I will not take anything from my parents and anything that I can do, I feel like I have to, you know, I have to do what I can to try to hold it down for the whole family.
That was Angela Yee. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I cannot wait to see you back here next week for another episode of the podcast with Natalie Bullen.
If you enjoyed today's episode, here's what you can do to support me and help more dreamers discover the podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. I read every single review and I'll select one review to read on the podcast every month. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Share the podcast with your family, friends, and coworkers. And if you really enjoyed today's episode, tag me on Instagram at thedreamers.podcast and let me know what you liked about it. All right, dreamers, that's it for today. I will see you back here next week for another episode of the Dreamers Podcast.
Okay, dreamers, time to build this legacy.
This podcast is for general information purposes only. It is not intended to provide any tax, legal, financial planning, insurance, accounting, investment, or any other kind of professional advice or services. Please consult with an appropriate tax, financial, or legal professional to receive appropriate advice based on your situation.